In this week's episode, I explain why I've swapped a 911 for a Boxster.
Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Welcome to Nineworks Radio. It's the last episode of the current series. As always by Mr. Andy Brooks.
Hello. Good morning.
And Mr. Max Newman.
Good morning.
Excellent. So yes, as we say, the last episode of the series today, we're talking about new cars because there's a new car to the Nineworks Radio fleet or stable. It comes courtesy of Max Newman. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Shocker.
Like I had to. I didn't want a new car, but I felt I was under pressure. So I had to get one. So I was just, you know.
What pressure were you feeling then?
I was feeling the pressure of the group. Everyone's getting new cars, I've got to get a new car as well. So I bought a new car. No.
I love it. Peer pressure.
I succumbed. No, of course I didn't, but I have got a new car. I have collected it. I did go down on Saturday. We're Thursday now with our record, so Saturday just gone. I was down at Cameron Sports Cars, just off the M4 near Bath, to see Simon to collect, rhodium silver 981 Boxster S.
Very nice.
So my my first open top car, full stop, first mid engine car, fourth Porsche, first Boxster.
Nice, pretty cool. Max.
Yeah. What triggered it then? Because obviously you've been thinking about, an addition, like you were thinking of a cheaper Boxster, I thought, or a G.
Yeah, I've been talking about 987 Boxsters, haven't I? Yeah. Pre-facelift 987 Boxsters. And the idea there, I was trying to do an internal sales pitch there, based around my slightly self-imposed, but also sort of circumstance-imposed limit of three cars. I was trying to pitch the idea to Mandy that we could potentially sell our beloved 335i Touring F31 Beamer, which she uses every day to go to Oxford and back, and maybe replace that with a 987 Boxster, which she would then use to go to work and back. Maybe she'd use the Macan as well, but use the Boxster. But that didn't fly. I tried quite hard, but it didn't fly. So that went to one side. But that was sort of coming off the back of this, general feeling that I had a Boxster itch to scratch, which, as we've talked about before, came from the sort of late summer 21. It would have been when I had the 718 Boxster S on loan from Porsche Centre Leeds, whilst they were doing the prep on my Macan S diesel that I bought. So I had that Boxster for a week, of which there was one rainy day and the other days were all beautiful. And I spent the week bombing around in that thing. It was brand new black Boxster S. So it was a really lovely car. And I loved it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. So much so that when I motored back up the M1 to Porsche Centre Leeds to pick up my new Macan, or new to me Macan, I was actually slightly deflated to be giving the Boxster back, even though I was getting a new car.
That's not good.
So, I do love the Macan, but it just shows how, it's testament to how much I enjoyed my Boxster experience. So that really got me going. And I've kind of been talking about it ever since. So having failed to pitch the 987 idea, I didn't really know what I was going to do. But I then started to wonder if the Macan's so good. The Macan's so useful for us. That's not really going anywhere. Plus, I paid, OPC money for it. So, you can't come out of a car that you've paid OPC money for Less than 2 years later without losing your shirt. So that's, you know, that's not going anywhere. So it had to be the 911 that's gone. You know, and that's quite a difficult conversation to have with yourself, isn't it? When your Flan 11 is your favourite car and you own one, and you own a great one, you know, to get to a point where you think you cannot have one, you know, that's quite a big step.
Well, the Boxster must be quite a big draw then to do that.
It is, but I've been thinking about this, you know, having had the feelings, I then thought, okay, where's that coming from? You know, why is that okay? There are other factors, some which will probably seem absurd to people that are listening, some that might make sense. But, you know, there are things like, you know, I have been slightly defeated by Buckinghamshire Roads, if I'm honest. No, honestly, I'm not. Yeah. No shit.
You do whine about them a lot. Rightly so, I believe.
I do whine about them a lot, but Carl Fortune came around my house the other night.
Yeah.
Because he was local, and he said, it's a good job that Boxster of yours got the smaller wheels coming, because your roads are terrible. He said, your roads are shocking.
Yeah.
You know, Carl does a lot of miles in a lot of cars in a lot of countries, let alone a lot of counties. He said, man, your roads are awful. So I can't remember if I said previously on the pod or just in conversation, during the winter, I got to the point where I wasn't driving the 911 in the dark because it was more difficult
to spot
the potholes.
Yeah.
You know, and our potholes are savage. You know, people who live in my village are breaking wheels and popping tyres left, right and centre. So I got to that point with it. And if we go that bit further back, that's actually where the Macan came from as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I bought the 991, the motivations to get the 991 were, you know, it was two or threefold. There was partly a desire to have another or different 911 experience, because I had the 997 for nine years and I loved it. It was a great car. Still in touch with the guy who bought it from me, actually. And no, the guy who bought it from the guy who I sold it to. He's loving it. But I bought a Mark 7 Golf R. So that was our stable at the time, 997 Golf R and the Beamer. And there were things about the Golf that I really loved. Because 997 headlights, especially if you haven't got the Lytronics, are like candles, probably like your SC, Andy. Well, as you know, Lee as well.
Yeah, I haven't been out in the dark yet.
You know, the headlights are crap, and there are things, and you get into a modern car, which was a bit of a new thing for me. And this Golf, you know, the headlights are incredible. I enjoyed the tech, the quality of the damping, how sophisticated it was. There are things that I really liked about the Golf R. And I got to the point where I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be great if I could combine some of the things that I love about the 997 with some of the things I love about the Golf into one car? Because I was using the 997 perhaps a bit less than I had done previously. And so that was one of the things that led to the arrival of the 991. Because I thought, okay, you know, I quite fancy, you know, trying another 911, and a 991 might offer that combination of things.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ways. And I was feeling bullish in spite of the environment that we were in at the time, with lockdown and all that sort of thing.
The glorious COVID purchase.
You know, you know, it was one of those. And of course, at the time, I didn't sell the 997 immediately when I bought the 991. I had the two. And then like you, Andy, you know, I was enjoying the new car so much that I thought, actually, I can let the 997 go. So I had the two for 6 months, and then I sold the 907. So I had the cash. But then I thought, God, I don't want to go through the winter driving the 901 all the time. So I was going to buy a Skoda Yeti, if you remember.
I remember that.
I was going to buy a cheap Skoda Yeti as my winter wheels. And then I realized there's no such thing as a cheap Skoda Yeti.
Might as well get a Macan.
So I ended up upselling myself to Macan. And I've always wanted a Macan. I love Macans. So that's how I ended up with the Macan. So, again, this might sound daft to some people, but when you have a 991 and a Macan, there are some elements of crossover in the way that you can use those two cars.
Definitely.
And my Macan's a diesel, so that might sound even more stupid to some people, but it's true. when you've got the two on the driveway and you're thinking, right, which car do I need to use today or which car can I use? There are times when, you know, when there's crossover. So with the Boxster thing, I was thinking, guy, you know, could I afford to let the 991 go? And honestly, as well, financially, work-wise and that sort of thing, you know, post-COVID, you know, I wasn't a net beneficiary of COVID from a career point of view. So, yeah. You know, I owned the 991 outright. That's a lot of money to have in a car for me, yeah. You know, a lot of money. And part of the appeal of the Boxster actually was to maybe to release some money, put it back into my ISA and that sort of thing. There was an appeal in that. So there's that factor as well as having been slightly defeated. You know, I got a bit precious about the 991, I suppose, is what all of this comes down to. Yeah. More precious than I perhaps would like to have been or ought to have been. Some of that was around that light interior as well. You know, when I went out looking for a 991, I was actually looking for a boring silver car with a black interior. And I ended up buying a brown car with a light interior. And I was always quite anxious about the interior. I know you can clean interiors, but I was anxious about not getting it dirty in the first place. You know, I didn't want to spoil that leather, you know, to a point where it was particularly that it became irreparably marked in some way, you know, and I became quite not concerned about that. That's over clubbing it. But it was on my mind every time I got in the car, yeah. Let alone when someone else got in the car.
Or the dogs.
Putting a towel down.
Well, actually, I did.
No blue jeans. Sorry. Get your car keys out.
I did buy a carefully chosen, from a colour point of view, bed sheet. I tried to get as close as possible to anthracite brown metallic bed sheet to line the back of the car. So when I put the dog boxes in, the dogs could go in and they wouldn't mark the inside of the car. So I did that.
I still got the sheet.
I didn't sell it with the car.
Optional extra.
Might ask Simon if he wants it. I'll send him a message. So there are all those, you know, those kind of factors. So I was just looking periodically, you won't be surprised to hear, looking at boxes and that sort of thing. And I love the 981 Boxster. I love the look of it. You know, it was transformational for me, like it was for a lot of people in Boxster terms.
Yeah.
It was such a great looking car. I went back and I watched I think it was when Chris Harris was doing stuff for Drive. He did the launch of the 981 Boxster S on Route Napoleon. Go back and watch that. It's a great, you know, that's enough to get anyone over the line to think that they want to own one. And I decided that was a car that one should have as a manual. So I didn't own a manual car once the 997 had gone, and I didn't miss it either, if I'm honest. You know, I wanted the PDK experience in the 991. That's what I was looking for. You know, I hadn't had that. I find the ZF 8-speed in the Beamer a little bit disappointing, a little bit dim-witted for me. And I quite like the idea of a you know, a real fast car with a proper dual clutch box. I quite fancied that. So that's one of the reasons why I bought the 991 that I did. I think I bought the best 991 C2S in the country at the time when I was looking for one. I actually only thought about buying two cars. And I bought the brown one from Alex at RPM. And I think as it comes through at Cameron, it'll probably be the best 991 C2S for sale in the country at that point as well. Mm. But there aren't many manual 981 Boxster S's.
Are there not?
And there aren't. I did have a look. At the time, I actually, although I do look at Simon's website, I look at Cameron quite a lot as part of my ongoing fantasy garage life of looking for cars, but it actually came up on Piston Heads when I was looking. I put in a search for manual 981 Boxster S's. So there were three manual 981 Boxster S's on Piston Heads.
Yeah.
And at the moment, actually, or a couple of days ago on Auto Trader, there were 51 981 S's for sale across the country, and only five with manual
box.
Wow,
that's huge, isn't it?
So, you know, there aren't that many of them. And as is always the way with Porsches, there are funny little quirks of, you know, especially when when you're buying Porsches at the level that I am, which are, you know, entry and mid-range, you know, not really expensive cars where people can afford to throw everything at them, they're often funny quirks of spec. And I found that with Macans
missing.
Spec that in my view is missing, you know, cars without heated seats and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I thought that if I was going to buy a Boxster, a car for Man United to use, it's got to at least have heated seats. And I'd be surprised at the number of Boxers that I'd see that didn't have heated seats. I also like, as I've said before, because I use the cars for work and things, I like DAB and stuff like that. And I know lots of things you can add from a tech point of view, but I like stuff, you know, I like OEM, I like stuff as it was from the factory, ideally.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this car came up on Piston Heads, and I could tell straight away from the picture that it was at Cameron, because they, you know, Simon presents the cars in a consistent way. So I logged on and had a look. It was silver and a black interior, it's manual, had heated seats, had DAB, because it's a 15 plate car, so it had DAB and all of that sort of thing. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a car, if I'm serious about this, that's a car that I ought to have a look at. You know, it's at Cameron. I thought, I don't know anything about them, but I feel like, you know, they seem like a good outfit. So I arranged to go and see it, and I motored down and, you know, spent the morning with Simon and agreed to trade in the 991 and buy the Boxster there and then.
Just like that?
Wicked, absolutely wicked.
Just like that.
Balls in.
A couple of things that I've really picked up on there, Max. The first thing is, I think it's really nice to hear your thought process, because it's really easy to judge from afar, as kind of we're all guilty of doing for a time. But as we know, there's no such thing as a bad Porsche. There's different cars for different people and different lifestyles. And so it's really nice to hear your thought process that's led you to the journey to getting your Boxster, with particular reference to the 991. So to me, it sounds like with your thought process of, right, I really want a Boxster, need to scratch that itch after your celestial moment in the 718 Loner. And it was almost a game of attrition on your driveway, and whereby the Beamer and the Macan could fulfill some certain tasks that perhaps a 991 couldn't. So it wasn't that you were looking to shift the 991, but it became the logical thing to do.
The obvious one to do,
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're looking at what you have now with the BMW, the Macan and the Boxster, in a way that ticks all the boxes of a 991 and all the different attributes that that car has. And I know you and I spoke away from the mic, and we compared a 991 and a 992, to be fair, to like an onion, because it has many layers to it, which is absolutely part of its genius. You could, if you wanted, condense all of those cars down to a 991 that will do your cinema trip, the shopping, the Nürburgring track day, the Welsh tour and everything in between. But then that's also the Achilles heel of it, is that for those Sunday mornings when you really want that drive, and I think this is what you've said previously, you have to peel a lot of layers back for that real 911-ness to come to the fore. So it's really nice that you've got those attributes, but spread over different cars. And that's, you know, you have the wonderful luxury of picking a different tool for the job.
There is, and I do wonder if there's a little factor, the Simon Jessop factor, because when I, you know, whenever it was in February, I think it's about 6 weeks ago, I drove his 3.2 and his 993, you know, and that was a big moment for me in my, you know, as I've talked about shifting the dial in my feelings about 911s that I'd like to own. But it was also, obviously, both of those cars are manual Boxers, and I did really enjoy that. So although I wasn't missing it, when I tried it, I thought, oh, that is, I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
And when I went up the road from Cameron's in the Boxster, because it's a really exquisite drivetrain in that Boxster. I know it's all ordinary, but it's perfectly matched, and it's brilliant. Yeah. I thought, that's really nice. That is really nice. And I think the Macan helps the Boxster in the way that there's that crossover with the 991. There's a bit more distance between the Macan and the Boxster. And one of the things I love about the Macan is it's family Porsching. It means I can Porsche more, and you know, that's I do value that. But the stopping my own cogs. You know, I know I'm preaching to the converted in a, you know, in an audience like this and a community like this, but I am really enjoying it, I've got to say.
Good.
It's really, really lovely.
Why 981 then?
I love the way the 981 looks.
Great. Best one, I think. Best generation, yeah. Looks-wise.
What, you reckon better than the 718?
Oh,
need to have a look at the 718.
Without doubt. Yeah. Without doubt.
Really? What
by far the prettiest Boxster, yeah. I think.
What makes it better than the...
It's definitely got a better bum.
Okay.
That sort of thing that they put between the taillights on the 718 that has the Porsche badge on it, I think the 981's a much prettier
I got you, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I lived in Reading when we went from 987, 997 to 991, 981. And I got invited to the 981 sort of dealer launch at Reading. And I remember being struck by, because I had my 997 at the time, by what a step on in the quality of the fit and finish the 981 was. So it looked great, I thought. And sitting in a few of them, Caymans and Boxers, I thought, God, these are really lovely cars. You know, it's much nicer in here than it is in my 997. So I've always had a, you know, I've always liked them, you know, as a package. Yeah. So that's always been the, I mean, I do like the 987, and, you know, I'm coming around to the 986 as well. You know, and as I say, I got far enough with the 987 to think, actually, I'd quite, you know, because I quite fancy that, that sort of pre-DFI motor experience again, because I do miss that bit from the 907. And I thought, yeah, 987 Boxster. Now, I was kind of all in on that. As I say, it didn't work with Mandy, but I think the 981 is a great looking, great
beautiful
car.
I agree with your sentiments on the back of the car. I also think the front, it's the right amount of, like, it's chiseled and gives the right amount of aggression. I think, in my opinion, the 987 before it, a bit too soft and floaty at the front. Kind of, I have a similar feeling with the 987 Boxster as I do the 993, just a little bit.
Yeah, a bit soft, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit too soft, whereas I think the 981 is nailed. Also, crucially, for a sports car purchase, sound. I think the 981 naturally aspirated flat six is an absolute corker, particularly when mated to a sport exhaust.
It does sound good. It sounds really good.
Have you got a sport exhaust?
I haven't.
You must have. Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't. But it really does sound good.
And it,
In terms of the way it looks, I've been surprised. You know, I drove it back from Cameron's, and then on Sunday I drove it to the Classic Motor Hub and back. And I've been surprised by the, I mean, owning a brown 991, you are kind of flying under the radar, being Porsche terms. But I was surprised actually by how much of a reaction the 981 has had on the road in terms of people looking. And some young lad on his little, on his 125 motorbike gave me the sort of, not a thumbs up, one of these. Obviously you can't see that because we're not podcast listeners, but, you know, he was like, oh, you know, gave me a, you know, a virtual thumbs up, which I didn't expect that. But, you know, people are reacting to it on the road in a positive way. So that's nice. Or maybe it's the big smile on my face.
It opens up the, you know, many interesting topics of conversation here in swapping 911 for Boxster. And as we've mentioned before on the podcast, you know, unfortunately, where we seem to live in this materialistic world, we've had comments before from people whereby they say, I own a Boxster or a Cayman, but I am looking to get a 911, or, you know, they almost have to, like, feel like they need to qualify the reason for purchasing, which of course is completely incorrect. It's a fantastic car of its own right. You've kind of gone the other way in stepping out of 911 into Boxster. I think that's really interesting.
That was a barrier for me, you know,
mentally.
The idea of not when 911's your favorite car, and has been your whole life, and then you own one, the thought of not having one, that takes a bit, you know, because there's nothing else that drives like a 911, is it? You know, so you know that if you don't have that, if you give that up, then you're going to miss it, of course. Yeah. And unfortunately, the drive to Cameron's last Saturday was some of the worst weather I've ever driven in, let alone driven that car in. So it was 90 miles, but it wasn't a great drive, which was a shame. And the box is a totally different experience. You know, it's much more welcoming and giving, and it's like a joy is the word I keep thinking about. It's just like it's got a big smile on its face and it's welcoming you in and says, you know, this is, you know, we're going to have a brilliant time together. Whereas 9/11's a little bit different, aren't they? You know, they want to challenge you and get to know you, and then maybe you'll be able to get the best from them, you know, further into the relationship. And that's all part of the appeal. And how do you miss it? No, you know, less than a week on, you know, I don't own a 9/11, and I sort of miss that feeling that you get from a 9/11 and only a 9/11. So there's no doubt I'll go back to a 9/11, or obviously the ideal would be to add a 9/11. And with a 981 Boxster, if I could afford to, you know, I could add maybe a 3-2 Carrera, because I wouldn't need such a modern usable 911 as I had with the 907 and the 901. So, I mean, that's all fantasy garage stuff at the moment because I haven't got that space or that money, but that's a possible, you know, way that something like that could go. And I would love that because I do really fancy a 3-2 Carrera, as everyone knows there, or maybe an SC, and you might turn me into SCs. Who knows?
Or maybe a this, or maybe a that, or wait, what about?
But definitely a 911. You know, yeah. I don't. You know, there will be more 911s in my future. You know, that doesn't change. But yeah. I'm a very happy Boxster owner.
Good. Yeah.
So
is that very happy? It almost sounds like you're admitting. So yeah, I'm very happy.
there is a bit of that. You know, I'm afflicted by 9/11 snobbishness and, you know, Boxster inferiority complex, you know, all those things, they're all
perceived.
I was going to say they're all real, they're not real, they're all in, you know, it's in one's head, but they are things that people feel and,
yeah,
you know, opinions that people express. So, well, you know,
I am full of admiration for you, Max. So I told this to you, or said this to you when we were on the phone talking about the swap just before you were gonna pull the trigger. And as I said to you at the time, I think, you know, positively speaking, such a brave decision because, as I mentioned, there's a car out there for everybody and a Porsche out there for everybody. And I bet there are a lot of Porsche owners out there, even listening to this podcast, who own a 911, but actually their lifestyle and perhaps what they're really looking for in a sports car would perhaps be better placed in a Boxster. But the idea of owning a Boxster and not a 911 is too difficult to swallow.
Do you think that's why our sort of little favorite car that we always talk up is the Spider? Because it is a Boxster, but it's kind of got a bit of something to it that sort of elevates it to be more 911-ish in its...
Possibly. It kind of sits outside the box, doesn't it? It's a little bit of a, like, it's a Skunk Works Boxster, really, isn't it? That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
It definitely has a status above, you know, the normal series Boxers, doesn't it? There's definitely something about it. Well, it's been embraced, hasn't it, by, you know, by the GT community and, you know, and all sorts of people. Which is probably good for Boxers as a whole, I guess.
Absolutely.
Unless people really think of them as a different series of car. I don't know, maybe some people do.
But that's what I mean. It is evident, which is kind of a shame within our enthusiast realm, and that's why, Max, I have to say again, A, congratulations on the car, but B, you know, I just have to really doff my cap to you and really admire what you've done, because in swapping out a 911 for a Boxster, you know, is a rare thing. I think they're not, you know, not often people go the other way, but as you've said, I completely agree. I feel like the Boxster for a driver's car, obviously you've gone manual as well, which is fantastic for that Sunday morning drive. That Boxster is readily available to have fun at sensible road speeds. As we know, modern machinery, you have to be really, really pushing to kind of get that same level of engagement.
Do you feel that, Max, with the Boxster when you drove
it
back?
There is something in that, definitely. And I have talked, you know, just talking in terms of straight line performance, not the way it goes down the road around corners and that sort of thing. I have talked about one of the things that I missed about the 997 being that you know, that was 325, you know, plus I had my chip and that sort of thing. Now, what a nice amount of performance that was on the road, or certainly on the kind of roads that I drive on. And with the 991, I did find, and probably PDK is a factor in that, You know, and that's not a super powerful car in modern terms. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about how 500 horsepower, what a nice amount of power that is. You know, my 911 was 395, I think it is, BHP. And with the PDK, God, you did half end up. It was surprisingly faster than I thought it was going to be compared to the 997. You know, it really felt like a lot faster than the 997. And I sometimes would find myself, and because the 991 is such an incredible platform, you know, you can go so fast in a 991. And then it really gives you all the 911, you know, things that we know and love. But man, you know, it's incredible. It's a big step on in terms of ability from a 997. But I'd find myself going really quickly sometimes. And I'd think, bloody hell, you know, I'm really cracking on here. You know, you'd say maybe I should take it to a track. But the Boxster, 315 horsepower, and manual, you know, I'm kind of back in that space. You know, yeah. It doesn't have a lot of torque. I have no idea what the torque figure is, but you know, it likes to be driven hard. And I'm kind of back in that space where I feel like that's a car I can drive, you know, really quite hard, and not be going, you know, crazy fast too soon.
Yeah, definitely. Less power, smaller wheels, slightly softer as well, so the car's able to move around underneath you a little bit more than the more taut 911. For fast road driving, it's pretty
slow
compelling,
car,
Max.
Slow car fast.
Yeah. And it has already been in front of the committee as well. On Sunday, I went to the first coffee and classics meet at the Classic Motor Hub, which is a place we've talked about before that I really love. So I motored up there with my mum, actually. Mandy couldn't be bothered with another day in the car, so she gave up her seat to my mum, who was bang up for a day out. So we pulled up at the Classic Motor Hub, and Nick Jeffrey was there with Roy and Pete Estwick, Roy Standish. So they're the committee. They spotted me as I was parking up. So
love it.
You know, straight away, I knew I was up for some scrutiny. But, of course, as we know, Nick is a huge mid-engine advocate these days, or a Spider advocate. He has a 987. Roy actually has a Boxster, and Pete had a Rhodium Silver 981 Boxster S, which he came to Carnatter in the Road to Redline days. It was a PDK, but I remember. I mean, he's a handsome bugger, Pete, but I remember him sitting there, you know, because it turned into a really nice day. We had that biblical rain, didn't we, in the morning at Carnatter. Mm. And by the time we left, the sun was out and it was a really nice day. And I remember we were all hanging around in the car park, and Pete was sat there in his Boxster. We were getting ready to go. He had the top down and his sunglasses on, looking like Tom Cruise's dad. I thought, bloody hell, Pete, you look like you're having a good time there, you lucky bugger. So they were all very, very kind about it. And we actually parked them up. People might have seen it on my Instagram. Pete with his Underberg GT3 and Nick's Agate 991 GTS and my car. And, you know, they all look good together. You know, they're all handsome cars.
Epic, Max. So yeah, look, absolutely no regrets so far then, just all positive vibes. The sun's out, the top's down.
Yeah. All good.
What's the spec? Small wheels, isn't it?
So the spec is rhodium silver.
Yeah.
I've got to talk to Lee about silvers, because I don't know very much about silvers, and I know there are a lot of them. So I'm liking rhodium silver now more than I thought I would.
It's quite vibrant.
So rhodium silver, black interior, only black seats and a bit of trim on the doors. There's no extended leather, so it's the plastic dash, which in a 991 I think is okay. Sorry, 981 is okay. Yeah. I have the same in the Macan. It's quite a nice quality thing. It has PASM. It has heated seats, important. It has DAB, which I really value. It's a 2015 car. It has nav. Doesn't have Bluetooth phone, which is a funny little quirk.
Yeah. Easily sorted.
Although that can be sorted. And it has one of the standard wheel options. So 19 was standard, but I think there were two 19-inch wheel options, and then there was the 20 upgrade.
Yeah.
One of which I really like, and I thought, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have that wheel, same wheel that I wished I had on my 991. But actually, you know, it's quite a good-looking wheel. It doesn't look under-wheeled.
So. Yeah, definitely.
And
I feel the arch is quite well.
You know, to have a little bit of extra sidewall, although it's only marginal, but it's, you know, for me, again, you know, shoot me for moaning too much about the roads, but it's going to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got no plans to make any changes to the wheel. It's come on, it's on Goodyears, Goodyear Eagle F1.
Yeah, good tire.
So I'm very happy with them so far. So I won't be looking to change those out in due course. When it needs new tires, it'll end up on, you know, Michelin PS4S or PS5, wherever we are at the time. Yeah. But the Goodyears seem pretty good. Doesn't have upgraded stereo, but you've got the roof down and the engine, so it doesn't really matter.
Nice. And did I see that it had colour matched roll bar hoops?
Yes, it does. It does, Andy. You're right.
So, they look good.
Yeah, the roll hoop things, I think they would be black, sort of flat black as standard, but they're rhodium. So when the top's down, actually that really adds to it. I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It has PDLS. You know, I do like good headlights.
Oh, headlights, Porsche right.
Dynamic, so the lights sort of turn a bit as you're going. It doesn't have auto main beam, which I love on the Macan. So I'll have to do that myself. Bit of a chore.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice respect car. You know, it's a spec that works for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when you're only looking at, you know, 3, 4, or 5 cars, you know, obviously the thing you can't change afterwards is whether it's a PDK or a manual. So if you're looking for a manual, which I was, you know, that it was, that's one of the reasons why I had to go and look at it, because it's so unusual to find a car that I thought actually that could be the one. Some folk might say, you know, why not 981 GTS? You know, I do like the 981 GTS, but that's almost the same money as the 991. And I didn't, again, difficult to find a manual car.
Yeah.
Most of them are PDK. Yeah. But also, as I've said, and I don't mind saying it, not admitting it, that's not the right word, I don't mind saying it, I quite liked the fact that this deal ended up with some money coming back in my direction, some cash coming back in my direction. That's good for me.
Money in the bank and soil-free seats. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah. And the Cameron experience.
I was going to ask how that went.
It's great. Yeah, really good. Really good. One thing which I hadn't appreciated, as I say, Cameron are one of the go-to, you know, websites that I've been looking at for 10 years or 15 years or however long since I discovered the internet for cars. And I did actually, I think my friend Lawrence bought his 991. I pointed him in Cameron's direction because I thought that they seemed like a good outfit. I spent a whole morning with Simon, and what I hadn't appreciated is something which I really value is in-house engineering in-house servicing and an in-house warranty that they back themselves, you know, the same as Paragon do, the same as RPM do. And I really like that, you know, that's something. So having realized that, I thought, okay, that's really good. You know, Simon's a top guy. I really enjoyed chatting to Simon. It just made me think, okay, this is a, you know, if this is the right car, then this is definitely a place that I'd like to buy from.
Yeah, you feel comfortable with it.
Yeah. You know, and Simon was keen. You know, the 991 didn't have to be part of the deal. You know, I'd spoken to our friend Henry at Lakeside, and also to, you know, James had put me in touch, JB put me in touch with Mike at Ashgood. So I knew that people would, you know, I knew that the 991 was a desirable car. So it didn't have to be part of the deal. But I mean, as I say, it's one of, if not the best 901.1 C2S in the country, I think. So I'm quite excited to see how that goes as a stock item at Cameron, actually.
Yeah.
Is it out there yet or?
Not yet. Not yet, I don't think.
It's got to polish out all the gene marks on the cream interior.
Yeah.
Oh dear. I tell you, yeah. So that was great, fascinating place, Cameron. You know, they got some great stock, because you can see from the website. But yeah, you know, Simon's a proper Porsche enthusiast. You know, he's got some cars of his own which are really cool. You know, he looks after some cars for some, you know, some long-standing clients and that sort of thing. So it's a real fascinating place to go. So I'm enjoying my, you know, my blossoming relationship with Cameron.
That is awesome. That is great to hear. Yes, it is a wonderful place. Simon really knows his stuff. The cars are exceptionally prepped from the couple of times I've been there. Be lovely to have Cameron on the Nine Works Marketplace
one day.
You know, there's
I've been
some
banging
brilliant
the drum.
Cars.
Hint, nudge,
don't
nudge.
Worry.
Yeah,
don't worry. Come on, Simon.
No, it'll be great. I'm really chuffed as well, Max, that you've gone to a lovely place. It is important when you're buying these cars. And actually, it's worth pointing out, you mentioned at the top of the podcast, it's your fourth Porsche. Every single one of those has been from a dealer. Not kind of bought off driveways and stuff. I know you favour like a quality prepped car. So it's nice that, and obviously there's been some fantastic places in the past, Paragon, RPM Technic. So it's nice that you've had another positive dealer experience so far with Simon at Cameron. Yeah.
And it's been really important every time. When I bought my 997 in 2012 from Jamie, that was a big purchase for me. And I knew the potential, albeit small, risks of buying that kind of car. And it was really important to me to buy from somebody like Paragon, where there was that warranty, because I couldn't afford a 10 grand engine rebuild at the time when I bought that car, because I was spending all my money on it. So I took great comfort from buying from Paragon. And it was a great car, and I never went anywhere near the warranty. It's the same with RPM. I was spending a stack of cash on that car, so to have that comfort. And actually, I did have a paddle failure during the warranty period, and Ollie and the guys at RPM were brilliant. They just sorted it out, during their warranty period. So yeah, that's really important to me.
Yeah, it does make all the difference, I think.
I'm just having a look on their website. They've got some nice cars on there, haven't they?
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, it was good. Good.
Happy days.
Whilst we were there, Mandy played a blinder, actually, in Fantasy Garage. Whilst we were there, there were two cars that she noticed, that she mentioned in a positive way. And she's actually pulled out a brilliant one air, one water, two car Fantasy Garage.
Has this opened the door for more cars?
Well, not when you hear which ones they were.
Oh.
She noticed a 991 50th anniversary, grey one. She noticed the colour. She noticed the houndstooth. She said, that's nice.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
That's discerning taste. That's someone who knows. And then she spotted a 964 RS, right-hand drive, ruby stone red. She's like, oh, that's nice.
Always popular. There's an
amazing 2911 garage. Imagine that.
How much cash did she spend?
Just the 420 grand.
Yeah. Just make a little note of it, Max. It'll come in handy one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that car you really liked?
Yeah. And I quote.
Yeah. I was impressed there. I mean, that's great taste.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is.
You trained well, Max.
Yeah.
Or educated well, should I say.
Max. Yeah. As we're saying, like, big, big, big congratulations, mate. Looking forward to seeing that box there very soon and seeing how your journey blossoms, obviously over the hiatus as we finish this series and go into the next one. And as I say, touch base next series and see how you're getting on with Boxster Life.
Yeah.
Are we going to see it on Saturday? We are, aren't we? Well, this would be Saturday gone.
Yeah. All depends on the dogs.
Okay.
Well, it depends what I have to do with the dogs. So,
They don't mind a bit of flapping here.
There's loads of them, though. Anyway, we'll see. But you guys will see it soon. Obviously, I'm going to be on that blooming peninsula road at some point with the top down, doing laps.
Yeah.
Going absolutely. To Lady Jack's, So, yeah, we'll see it soon enough. We'll see it soon enough. The other thing to update on, of course, which has happened since we last recorded, is I hosted the inaugural Donners and DuckTales.
Oh, yes. How did that go?
For the Driven Not Hidden collective at Atelier's in the marketplace in Tame. That was last Thursday. The weather held off for us. We had a great time. I can't remember, maybe 20 people came along.
Perfect.
We had a really good time, cars littered about the place. Really good time, actually.
I had big FOMO checking it out. I was coming back from Lakeside Classics that evening, driving a GT3, which we'll talk about in a minute. But big FOMO there. The only thing I will say is I didn't actually spot any DuckTales.
No.
lots of Donners around, don't get me wrong.
That is true. There wasn't a single DuckTail. That was, that was beyond my control.
That's a bit of a failure, Max. You need to sort that out.
Beyond my control. Well, actually, I could lay blame at you two both own cars with DuckTales.
True.
Neither of you were there.
And we didn't make the effort. So, you're quite right.
There's only so much I can do, But it was really good. And kudos to bloody Alex Brody, who motored down from Nottingham.
Yeah, Nottingham, he's mad.
I hope that kebab was worth it.
Yeah.
So it was good to see Alex and Thomas and Paul and Deb and, you know, James and, loads of people. We had a really good time. So much so, actually. And the guys, Mr. Atelier Sr. was there that evening, as well as the twins who run the business. And they seemed to be having a good time as well. They appreciated the support and they enjoyed the cars.
Excellent.
So we're definitely going to do it again. I think maybe May the 4th, Thursday, May the 4th. I think that that'll be a nice evening. I think we'll do it again there.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, if that works for you guys. I think I'm probably not going to, go too hard on promo and that sort of thing. Talk about it on the pod.
Keep it tight. Yeah,
keep it tight. Really good. So, 4th of May. Pop it in your diary, folks, and Donners and DuckTales too. Hopefully there'll be a blooming DuckTail there. Let's see. I'm going to have to put out some special requests to people that I know.
100%. So, I'll bring Little Irish, mate. We'll represent. Yeah. We'll represent.
Paging Paul Pressland as well, I need some help here.
Good stuff. Nice.
Wicked. Absolutely wicked. Yeah, look forward to joining that. As I said, I was coming back from Lakeside Classics that day driving. So Henry at the moment's got in stock a 991.1 GT3, which I think was his personal car for a little bit. And obviously he's now parting ways with it. So he said, look, you've got to drive this thing. You drove them new. Come up, see what you think. And oh my God. I hadn't driven a .1 GT3 possibly, since they were new and some of the press car loans from Porsche GB. So it'd been a while. I'd had this kind of memory, albeit a distant one, as to what they drive like. But wow. In a world where we're kind of obsessed, it's in the realm of GT with the 4 litres, got to be the 4 litre, whether it's the 991.2 or the 992. What an absolute gem that 991.1 is. As you said, Max, the I can't remember what you call the engine now.
Screamer.
The Screamer. Yeah, Screamer. Do you know what? It's a fantastic description. It really is. It's a different sound to the 4 litres, which I've never quite cottoned on before. It kind of almost sounds, whereas the 4 litres a bit more gruff, it kind of howls at you. Yeah, the 3.8 is a high-pitched scream. It's very different. And also inside it kind of sounds a bit more mechanical. It's almost as if there's a bit more sound deadening or something. Yeah,
there is. Don't you remember
in the later
talking
cars?
About this?
No, I don't.
I met Thorsten. I can't remember his surname when I was over in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And he is the interior guy at Porsche, does all the GT cars.
Yeah.
And he said that the difference between the .1 and the .2 is massive as far as the sound deadening and lots of things on the interior. It's like
brilliant.
Two different generation cars, even though it looks very similar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great because it validates what I'm saying then.
Yeah,
it's not this kind of
absolutely.
Placebo, but you do really feel that and you kind of feel a lot more attuned to the car. It was a real treat, a real bit of theatre to sit at that wheel. Not saying it's not the case with the 4 litre cars, of course, but you're driving this car and you go, wow, this is amazing. And the other thing I found, so obviously the noise is fantastic. You just find yourself hunting for 9,000 RPM all the time, which obviously gets a little bit scary on public roads, as you alluded to earlier, Max. But also I had reservations driving up to the car about the PDK gearbox. Obviously those Gen 1 cars are PDK only. And I was thinking, well, 10 years of Porsche evolution, I wonder if the 991.1 might feel a bit sloppy now. Not the case at all. Just as kind of pin sharp and razor sharp as I always remembered. Of course, the 992 is better, but it doesn't make the .1 991 feel old. So driving all, driving around, taking all of this in and just thinking, I think actually the car maybe appeals more now than it did when it was new.
Mm.
There was a lot of controversy when it was new, of course, because it was electrically assisted, power steering, of course, active rear axle steering. The Metzger engine had gone in place of this DFI.
Yeah, there was lots of...
And, longer, 100 mil longer wheelbase as well. And everyone's going, great car, but Porsche, what on earth have you done with our GT3? Whereas now we're kind of used to it, I actually think that it kind of, validates the wrong...
Yeah, it's time to shine.
Word. But you look at it, you go, this is... brilliant, and I mean properly brilliant, properly brilliant. They're sitting kind of values wise around the same place as where they were new. And obviously it has been a lively 10 years for that car in terms of the stories it's told and everything else. But yeah, I just came away thinking, wow, I think I love that car more now than I did when new, actually. And I've mentioned previously on the pod about how I have to, at some stage in my life, experience from an owner's point of view, that 9,000 RPM.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like a lot of people, thought, well, 4 litre, that'd be amazing. But and a stick shift, but actually a PDK 3.8, I think that's completely viable.
Yeah. I'm with you. Still the best car I've ever driven. Obviously, I haven't driven as many cars as you have, but it's just, you know, it sticks in my mind. Incredible thing.
Yeah. And actually,
I'm the same as you, Lee. I feel like I need to have one at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, and slightly softer as well. You know, they are highly tunable, those cars, but I think the new ones, they feel, particularly the Dot 2, a little bit stiffer, I would say. So actually, you know, and again, PDK is, again, you mentioned, Max, 7 speed. So in second gear, 75 or 78 mile an hour. Third gear, 105 mile an hour. You're getting in trouble quick. But actually, in terms of a usable chassis that offers you something on the public road to kind of play with, it was there. You know, I felt engaged on the road, which is kind of crucial, really. So yeah, wow, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I think that was in terms of the way that you can use the car a little bit and interact with it. That was the first car where they changed the PDK shifter, the lever, to the
That's
right
it.
Way around.
Yeah.
So pull towards you to change up so you can do the GT. That always irritated me with my, it does on the Macan as well. You know, it's the wrong way around on the Macan, and it was on my 901. But for the GT3, 901.1 GT3, they changed it. So you can do the DTM thing if you want to. And I guess that was part of a whole GT calibration, which probably makes that PDK quite different to the one in an equivalent Carrera 2S like my car.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember you mentioned that before on the podcast. It's, yeah, the right way, as you put, you know, and I think that was direct influence from Mr. Preuninger, wasn't it? So
I think so.
What a fantastic car.
And that's really interesting to hear that, because that's a car that I really aspire to and look back, as I say, I think of it as the best car I've ever driven.
Yeah.
So for you to have had that experience is really... That's really interesting.
Well, it's definitely kind of put that car firmly back on the radar for me. And then what was great is I stopped off on the way home, went on Instagram for a quick look, it was the Nineworks Collective WhatsApp group, I think, actually. I saw some pictures on there, then followed it through to Instagram and saw a load of pictures of Donners and DuckTales that was happening evening. And I saw that lovely Guards Red 901.1. That looks fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, my friend Ben Ops, who I hadn't seen for ages, actually, he came along with James Taylor. He's a TPEC guy, local South Central TPEC. My top bloke is Ben. Yeah, and he's got that thing. He's got an exhaust on it. I can't remember who it's by, the exhaust, but bloody hell, that makes a good sound. And he drives the thing hard as well.
Yeah.
Mega thing. He actually went from he had an aero-kitted 991.1 C2S in Guards Red, and he upgraded to 901.1 GT3, I think, from RPM. And I remember when he first got it, he picked it up in the winter and he was finding it hard work to get into and use and really enjoy. He said, I'm struggling to enjoy it as much as I thought I would over the C2S. But now, you know, that's a year ago, and he's had some good weather and some good drives.
He's finally dialed in.
Looks like a very happy man.
Yeah. It's a clubby, isn't it, from what I saw in the pictures?
Yeah. Great. Really cool thing.
Yeah, lovely. The one at Lakeside wasn't the club sport, and it had the like the sports seats, which again I felt was fine. I was driving that car, having fun, and felt engaged on the road with it. And I thought I could do a Euro tour in this, definitely. Yeah. So it lends itself to that, has its merits there. So yeah, in either regard, club sport or comfort, fantastic car.
What I'd like is folding buckets, no cage.
Okay, yeah.
That'd do
me.
That'd do me.
Yeah.
For the dogs.
Very good. Just by way of a little bit of news, just want to say that on behalf of all the Nineworks, want to send our condolences to the family of Mr. Harold Wagner, who for a long, long time, some 34 years, was the head of sales director at Porsche AG, passed away at the end of last month at the age of 99. Wagner's legacy with certainly the 9/11 is completely assured. It was Herr Wagner who gave us the Targa name. Oh. So if you've owned or even admired a Targa, that's down to Herr Wagner's input there. But also it was he who piloted and championed the factory handover for customers that wanted to pick their 9/11 up from Zuffenhausen, which we all know is really special. The 9/11s have been built in Zuffenhausen for 60 years this year. And it was he who kind of championed that. So really cool. And as I say, yeah, passed away last week at the age of 99. Massive input on all of our lives, really, because he played such a big part in the 9/11's story.
Sad news. I had seen that news. I hadn't appreciated his, you know, the extent of his influence. Sad news.
Yeah. Any other news at all? Andy, you've not continued your streak yet of bigging up SCs and how they're undervalued and
I've been playing with my gear changes.
I've
been playing with my gear change this week. So I fitted that return spring that returns the gear lever to the third and fourth plane. I've got all new bushes all throughout, solid brass bushes in the rear coupler. I got it all back assembled together last night and it feels amazing. I just need to get out and drive it and see what it actually feels like on the road. But initial impressions are, oh yes, it's going to be good. Yeah. It was the only bit that sort of I wouldn't say disappointed, but you know, just felt like it could do some work. Everything else on the car feels fantastic. It was the only bit that I think Phil hadn't touched really. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'd replaced the bushes a few years ago, but not tweaked it in any way. So yeah, I've been tweaking.
Yeah,
interesting. Simon Cameron did say actually on Saturday he'd been listening to the pods. And he said that he is very much a 915 guy.
Yeah.
And he thinks that the 915 is an important part of the experience of those cars.
Yeah.
And G50, for him, takes a little bit away from that because it feels like a modern gearbox in an older car. So he's certainly in the 915 camp. Good 915 is an important part of his G-body experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny enough, Henry at Lakeside Classics has said exactly the same thing there. He had a long flight where he listened to the podcast, particularly enjoyed the G50 versus 915 debate. He says, I think it's so correct that people jump to a conclusion saying the G50 is better, but actually it just depends on the condition of the gearbox. When the 915 is rebuilt, I actually prefer it myself as I like the short shift and it feels more like I'm in a race car. So again, it comes down to what you want from your car and what you want from your Porsche experience. So, it is, absolutely, of course, the end of the current series. I think it's been a cracker, gents. I don't know about you. Perhaps, you'd like to share some of your favourite moments with your favourite guests or what your favourite episodes.
Well, it has been a cracker, isn't it? What a series. It's hard. I was thinking about it just because we've been talking about 991.1 GT3, but I remember that part of the conversation that we had with Jethro. We were talking about, you know, how that car won 2013 Ecoti. That was a really interesting part of a absolutely fascinating conversation with Jethro. Very popular episode. A great listen that certainly sticks in the mind. He obviously inspired Jethro. He obviously enjoyed himself so much that he keeps popping up on podcasts all over the place.
Almost as much as you, Max.
Almost as much as me. So we need to get him back. So yeah, that was brilliant. That was a cracker.
Yeah, I have to say, I know I've said on the pod before, but just want to say again, like your handling, unfortunately, I had to miss that podcast, but your handling of it from an interviewer point of view was absolutely masterly. And I really felt you just let Jethro talk, you know, and him, as we've said, him and Henry Catchpole, I put those two right up there as absolute elite journalists. And like, reading their stuff is like modern day Shakespeare for me. I just can't get enough of it. And actually, after the Jethro podcast dropped, Maz from Garage Therapy mentioned on our Driven Not Hidden Collective WhatsApp group, he said, listening to Jethro just makes me want to go and drive my car. And I think that is absolutely spot on. Yeah. He's, you know, he really,
so
really
much enthusiasm for
got you excited to go out and do that. So that was a brilliant interview. It was fantastic to listen to.
It's
that side. Yeah, Andy, highlights.
Really enjoyed PTS chat with Will. And I thought that was a great podcast with Will. He's so much geekery and information came out of that. I think it was a real learning experience for everybody that listened to that.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Absolutely. Ultimate geek podcast. Yeah. That was.
That's exactly how I'd describe it. To be fair.
I think so many people got turned on to PTS from that. So they hadn't really sort of thought about PTS, but the amount of configurator nonsense that was going on in the following days on our WhatsApp group of people that had picked PTS colors and were like, oh, I really fancy this now. I didn't really realize PTS existed. And So yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I was messaging Will the other day because, you know, when we were talking about the colors from different manufacturers and we had the Mazda color and the Fiesta color.
Yeah.
And I said to him about the blue that I'd seen on the Mark 7.5 Golf GTI. And he said, yeah, that's dark iron blue. It's like yachting blue metallic for the people. And now that I know what the colour's called, I'm looking out for it even more. And I was trying to pitch to Mandy the other day that we should get a dark iron blue 7.5 GTI to replace the BMW. That's been my current pitch. And I was messaging Will. I was like, Will, you bugger, man. You've really... I was already into them. And now that I know exactly what it is, I can't stop looking for them. And I really want one even more. He was like, yeah, sorry about that. He didn't say that. He said, get one.
Just get one, yeah.
It was a two-hour conversation of four enthusiasts completely geeking out. And it was really enjoyable to take part in that. I was really, really grateful that Will spared some time to jump on the call with us. I really liked what, because he's an enthusiast, but he knows his stuff as well, and he's clearly got a good line into Porsche. A clip I can recall that is where he talked about paint sample allocations going forward.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that was fantastic to have Will on. Yeah, I've enjoyed the lot. I actually found the Impact Bumper episode to be particularly enjoyable because it really was the most kind of comprehensive overview of that entire 15 years, which is quite hard to do. And we didn't cover everything. We do need to go back, but
yeah,
there was
so
some fantastic.
Cover,
yeah, there really was. Obviously, it coincided, Andy, with your car purchase. Serendipitously. But my favorite bit, and again, this I think is kind of the beauty of listening to this podcast, was when Mark Sumptus gave us the little gem about why we don't see a lot of Guards Red 993s. So yeah, look, how awesome is that? What I love as well, and I don't want to really talk too much about it because today, in terms of new car, Max is all about your brilliant Boxster. But what I do love is how in the same series that we've dedicated an episode to paint sample, we've biffed off a brown car and a stripy red car in favour of like a fleet of silver and greys again. So
nice paint to sample.
I was waiting for you to dive in with that. It is, I promise. But I found that quite kind of funny and almost ironic in a way, really. But it's been great.
That G-Body episode, because I couldn't make the recording of that, so I was able to approach it, you know, purely from an enthusiast listener point of view. And the timing with your car, Andy, was just brilliant. But
yeah, it was unreal.
You know, so that was great. And to have the guys from Paragon, to have Mark, you know, talking on there and Jamie, it was a really good episode. And I still love, you know, quote of the season for me is Mark saying about, you know, describing the 915 gearbox, saying that you find the leader where you left it. And that's how he summed it up. I just love that.
Yeah.
Talking of Mark, congratulations, baby girl.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Margaret.
Fantastic. Not called Ruby.
No. Margaret. You would have thought Porsche related, but no.
Congratulations to the Sumpters. That's great news.
Indeed. Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. Brilliant, gents. I think we'll finish up with our usual spread the love and gem of the week.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got a little Patreon up. Oh, sorry. Driven Not Hidden update as well. If that's
amazing,
right.
Yeah. Max, what are you saying for
up on the last episode of the season, Andy?
Yeah, I know.
After beating everyone with a stick for 3 months. Yeah, go on then. Yeah, Max, what are you saying for Gem of the Week?
Well, Gem of the Week, I was inspired by Mandy's Fantasy Garage episode down at Cameron, and I thought, right, I need to find some kind of combination of an air cooled and a water cooled car or liquid called Jerry. to try and match that. So one is a car that we've talked about before. It's Henry at Lakeside. His 1972.2 S is such a pretty car. Absolutely gorgeous in that sort of off-white ivory colour. Absolutely beautiful. Every time I'm looking at Lakeside, I see that. I think, man, that's just one of the best-looking 911s I've ever seen.
Agreed. So, yeah, dainty, classic, quintessential 911, dainty arches, just 911 purity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm totally on board with the idea and the appeal of the 2.2S over the 2.4S as well. So that, you know, again, in my realms of fantasy carriage, that's where I'm at. So that's a first class air cool choice. And then RPM have got an incredible 997.2 GT3. It's so incredible that I'm sure it's already been sold. They've got an aqua blue 997.2 GT3. Aqua blue being, you know, probably better known for being on the RS, on the 3.8 RS, but on a narrow body GT3, it's one of the best looking 997 GT3s I've ever seen.
Agreed, it's a proper beauty. That it's a club sport, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's got the best seats as far as I'm concerned. Those folding buckets for that generation, I think they're better than the. Well, I think they're the best Porsche seat. Full stop. To be honest with you, from the modern lot.
Yeah. I looked at that car and I just thought, wow, what a car. You know, the lucky owner, I mean, even if it is sold, just go and have a look at it anyway, just to pore over it. I was out the other day walking around. I got coffee in a village up the road, and I was just kind of wandering around the place drinking my coffee, and I saw this guy, really lovely house, and a strange little single garage block on his driveway, sort of separate to the house, little bit kind of odd looking thing. And it was a Sunday, and he had in there his sort of one special car, and it was wheeled out and he was cleaning it. It was a black BMW 1M, and he'd just finished cleaning it. It looked amazing. They're a great looking car, aren't they? Yeah, and then he had his normal cars, like his X5 and his Golf or something. And it did make me think, if I had that house and that little one car garage, what's the one special car that could go in there that I could roll out like in the way that he's doing? And that Aqua Blue GT3 would be a car that would fit in that environment perfectly.
Lovely. Yeah, very eloquently put.
Nice.
Yeah, quality. Yeah, so two gems of the week there, Max. I love that as well, following through from Mandy's air and water double.
Yeah, there we go.
Fantastic. Thank you, my man. That's awesome. And we've got our final spread the love then for the series.
Yeah, I've got one. It's one for Max, really. I came across a YouTube channel / Instagram account called Capturing the Machine. And it's a guy called Kevin McCurley, is over in the US. The reason I found it was he's got an SC. So found it through that.
The rage.
Yeah, but his YouTube channel is fantastic in going into the details of how to take pictures of cars. So giving top tips on, you know, what to do and different scenarios. So yeah, go check it out. Capturing the Machine.
Wow.
Really nicely put together.
I'm on there now. His pictures are lovely.
Yeah, his pictures are lovely, but then go on to YouTube and watch some of his the stuff that he does on there. And he goes through, you know, photography techniques for taking pictures of cars. Which
SC with stripes, I hear.
Yeah, he's got an SC with martini stripes on it.
Oh. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
Great one.
Lovely jubbly. I don't mind diving in next. So my spread the love this week is to Charade Bristol. So I don't think we've mentioned too much about that, but the guys obviously at Charade Accident Repair, based up in Cannock, they've moved into a new premise. Well, they've not moved into a new premises. They've acquired more of premises in Bristol. So if you're in that part of the country, southwest part of the UK, it's a viable alternative for now, rather than going all the way up to Cannock, which is lovely. So Charade Bristol is now officially open, just off the M5. It's Porsche approved as well. So just we know that Charade at Cannock is Porsche approved, but it's not the brand that's approved or recommended. It's the site, and there's quite a comprehensive vetting process, and it's a continual vetting process that has to take place in order for that kind of official accreditation to remain valid. And the guys, have opened up not too long ago and got that Porsche approved or Porsche recommended status now. So yeah, as I say, it's another alternative or opportunity for anybody listening for accident repair, but not just that, any body work or restoration projects that you have, they are alive and kicking and very much waiting for your call. So that would be, Charade Bristol's my spread the love this week.
Great. Excellent.
In a similar vein, I'm going to sort of expand on a theme or continuing a theme that I've talked about before. This morning, I was up early and I was out and I was at FitLife. I've talked about FitLife before over in Haddenham. They're the club that I'm a member of. And I was chatting to Steve Gregory, the proprietor, founder and owner of it. We were just, chatting away. And on the way home, I was thinking, I want to talk about the fact that FitLife now has a second site. So, I've been, lived in various places over the years, member of different clubs and gyms and that sort of thing, big brands that everyone knows and smaller clubs. And I really believe quite strongly that what Steve is doing at FitLife is different and special. And he now has a second site, obviously Haddenham, the original site. If you don't live, close enough to Haddenham, that's not so valuable to you. But now there's a second site in Summertown in Oxford. So I just wanted to say, if anybody is within gymmable distance of that, you now have another opportunity to feel the FitLife thing. And it is special. So check it out.
Quality. Absolutely quality, mate.
Right. I'll give you an update on the collective. We've got a few new members. Rob Verall, who I've mentioned before, came back to me. Thank you, Rob. He is near Brighton and drives a 997 GTS. He came onto the WhatsApp group just the other day, actually. I don't even remember the lovely picture of that GTS.
Yeah.
Looked gorgeous. Great picture as well. In front of sort of Regency style house in Brighton. Looked gorgeous.
Yeah. Great picture that was.
Yeah.
Really good. Next up is James Roddy, who is a rookie and is from Essex. Drives a 996 C4S that he bought from Paragon about a year ago. Welcome, James. Bernard Wong, who is a rookie and is all the way from Brisbane in Australia. Long-time listener of the podcast. He has a 991 Carrera 4 GTS and a 997.2 Carrera 2. Welcome, Bernard. Good to have you along.
Welcome, Bernard. Bernard's story is available as a My Porsche story on the Nine Works website. So it's definitely worth going to check that out. One of his purchases there, and I won't say without giving the game away, was a lockdown purchase. And it was quite interesting. His article kind of talks a little bit about that and the psyche behind it, as well as his wider Porsche journey. I think there was a transaxle car back in there, back in the day at one stage as well. Nice. So worth checking out.
Excellent. Right, next up is Craig Justice, the one and only.
Way!
He's joined us as a rookie. Welcome,
amazing.
Craig.
Amazing. Welcome, Craig.
Yeah. Craig doesn't have a Porsche at the moment. He had a Boxster in previous times, before kids, I believe, and always wanting to get back into Porsche life, and does some amazing art, sketches, graphics, just fantastic stuff. If you go on to Instagram and look for Justice Sketch, check out Craig's stuff. Brilliant if you haven't seen it already. And great to have you aboard, Craig. Next up is Dean Lancashire, who's a privateer. He comes to us from Doncaster in South Yorkshire. Been a subscriber of Total 911 for many years. He's got a few cars, actually. Six in all. Wow. Got a 911S, 77 911 SC Targa, an 81 911 SC Coupe, an 84 3.2 Carrera, which is a backdate track car, so back to 73 RS look, a 964 C4, and a 996 C2, and a 2010 997.2 GT3. What a great garage that
is. What a lineup.
Yeah, fantastic, Dean. Amazing.
He's a one-man cars and coffee.
He is indeed. Fantastic. Good to have you aboard, Dean. We'll get you added to the WhatsApp group in the next day or so.
Lastly, I've got an upgrade, which is a privateer to works, and that's Joseph Picava, who, if I remember rightly, is a farmer that has a GT3. Is it in Miami?
Yeah. Comes to the Donington track day. Yeah, fantastic to meet Joe and his dad.
Yeah. Top guys, both of them.
So that just reminds me that he is updated to works. We need to do our draw.
Yes, we do. Oh yeah, I'm excited for this. Yeah, so as we mentioned on last week's podcast, we do a quarterly giveaway as one of the perks of being a works member on top of additional content. And I think, guys, we need to get a bonus pod sorted pretty sharpish for that, because it's been a while. But yeah, we've got this competition to do, which happily and rather generously was a £100 detailing hamper courtesy of Maz at Garage Therapy for this this inaugural Nine Works giveaway. So it's a fantastic,
great collection of stuff. I've seen the picture of all the stuff that Maz has got together for that hamper. It's brilliant.
It's awesome.
Great prize.
It is awesome. We're going to get Maz on the podcast next series, because his story and that of his company is really interesting. I've really enjoyed using his products lately on my cars. I think people listening to this will know, not being the biggest fan of cleaning and detailing my cars, but actually using the Garage Therapy products is actually making it a lot more enjoyable. The results just seem completely worth the hassle and effort of digging everything out of the shed to keep Little Irish clean. So
much into it that you were on the Sport Classic the other day.
I did. I cleaned Paul's 992 Sport Classic.
Shitting himself. Sibley's got the sponge hand. He's on the Sport Classic.
Thankfully, no sponges involved. Maz would kill me. But it did look great. And yeah, like genuinely, it's like really enjoyable to use all of that stuff. So looking forward to getting more into that and having Little Irish looking resplendent as we go forward, really. But yeah, fantastic products. And like I say, Maz, great prize as well. So thank you for looking at that. For those listening, if you don't win the prize that we're about to announce, don't forget as well, if you hit up Garage Therapy's website, you can get 10% off by hitting up the code 9Works10.
Excellent.
Cool, man. Yeah. Cool. I assume there's a list of 9Works drivers that we've
got. I'm just compiling that now. What I will ask you for is a number between a couple of numbers, and then I'll do a little randomizer and pick one of the Hero or Works drivers. It won't be a second.
Maz is a great contributor to the WhatsApp as well.
Yes.
Which I always enjoy. Talking of upgrades, actually, Nick Jeffrey said on Sunday when we were at Classic Motor Hub that he was going to upgrade. So.
Oh, really? Nice.
I've outed you, Nick. So. And actually, whilst I'm doing that, Pete Estwick, who seems to get a mention every week these days, he said he was going to get amongst it. So come on, Pete. Let's get signed up. And Jane, Pete's lovely wife, Jane, I said that I'd say hello to her as well, because she said Pete always gets a mention. He's always got Nine Works Radio podcast on in the car. And I say, is that Max? Are we listening to Max? And Pete gets a mention and Jane doesn't. So Jane gets her own mention.
Brilliant. Very gentlemanly. Excellent. Of you, sir.
Right. Could I have a number between 1 and 46, please, from one of you?
Go on, Max.
18. Yeah.
Drum roll, please. For the benefit of the tape, Andy's counting down. I think if we imagine we're looking at an Excel spreadsheet here, scrolling down to box.
Be quiet, we don't want to disturb him.
I have a winner.
And the winner is?
It's Mr. Matt Pickering.
Hey, amazing.
Well done, Mr. Pickering.
Fantastic prize.
Well done. Great prize.
I think, yeah, it keeps his cars fairly clean. I think that'll be going to a good home.
He's going to have to now.
Yeah.
Oh, that is absolutely awesome. Matt, thanks for being a works driver, first and foremost. We really appreciate that. You are the inaugural winner of our quarterly works giveaway. Again, thanks to Maz at Garage Therapy for supplying the great prize.
I think Matt only recently upgraded, actually, only in the last few weeks. So, yeah.
He obviously has a prize.
Yeah, it pays.
Yeah.
Excellent.
putting the vibes out there. Visualize if you believe you can achieve. Absolutely awesome. Awesome. I think that's a really lovely way to wrap up this episode and indeed the latest series of Nine Works Radio. Thanks for all
congratulations on your new car, Max.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say to everybody listening at home, thank you for all of your listens and downloads. It all does mean a lot to us. If you wouldn't mind hitting up a couple of reviews for us, and we'd especially welcome 5-star reviews, but absolutely any reviews, of course, indeed, we welcome. It all helps. And the more reviews and listens we get, so I'd also encourage you, if you're in a WhatsApp group of automotive enthusiasts and there's even a sprinkling of Porsche flavor in there, give our pod a bit of a mention, because the more views we get, then the further we can push this pod, which means the bigger names and more places we can get to. We've got a fantastic guest coming up next series as a case in point, from within Porsche, which is a real coup for us, and we're really lucky and privileged to have that. And ultimately, the more listens we get, then the further we can push this, and we can get some even more amazing people on to complement what we've already had so far. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just to sort of echo that and build on that, 4th of May, Donners and DuckTales. I'm not going to plaster it all over Instagram. You know, let's spread it out through the collective. You know, tell your Porsche friends, invite your Porsche mates who aren't yet part of the collective. Tell them about it. You know, come along. It was a really good day. Let's get, hopefully it'll be a lovely evening, and, you know, we can make it another great social.
Yeah, definitely. Lovely. Definitely. Amazing. Nice one, gents. Always a pleasure, never a chore. And we will join each other in front of the mics in a few weeks.
Soon.
Yeah, yeah. See you soon.
Cheers.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app.